Thank you very much, Dan Siegel. Oakland mayoral legal advisor resigned to protest Oakland's crackdown on the Occupy movement. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Ryan Devereaux, Dina Guzder, Manal Khan, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'll be speaking in Long Island, Stony Brook University on Thursday. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And that's a pleasant surprise. Amy Goodman will be here.
This is
Stony Brook. I'm sorry, Amy. This is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is just about 6 o'clock. Actually, it's 6:01. We'll let that go because we have a concert billboard to play. And then we're going to continue talking about what's happening in New York City. And we also have some sports after that. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, November 14th. Josh Groban will be at the Madison Square Garden in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Southside Johnny and the Poor Fools will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, New York at 8 p.m. The Rock Yo Face Case will be taking place at the University Cafe, Stony Brook University, at 8 p.m. and features Casual Hearts, Not So Broken, Toxin, August Anthem, and Stella Rae. Your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, November 15th. Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes will do an acoustic show at the Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut at 7:30 p.m. Katie Herzig and Butterfly Boucher will be at the Rock Shop in Brooklyn at 8 p.m. Goo Goo Dolls will be at the Paramount in Huntington, 8 p.m. Your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, November 16th. Ani DeFranca will be at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center at 8 p.m. Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue and Devin Allman's Honey Tribe will be at the Klein Auditorium in Bridgeport, Connecticut at 8 p.m. Ray Davies and the 88 Lynx will be at the Paramount in Huntington at 8 p.m. Das Racist will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn at 9 p.m. Sonos and Red States will be at the Triad in Manhattan at 9:15 p.m.
This has been your concert billboard for this week. Tune in to WUSB each day to hear more about your favorite performers and where they're playing. Or go to the online concert billboard at WUSB.FM, which has a schedule for upcoming months, so you can plan ahead. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. And this week, we're asking you to give generously to WUSB. Call 631-632-6901 and pledge now. Thank you. We'll be right back.
And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. We have an abbreviated show tonight. We'll be ending 15 minutes early because we have a men's basketball game against Sacred Heart University from our relatively scandal-free athletic department here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, where we broadcast all kinds of exciting contests. Tune in for that. But before that, we're going to be talking about what's been happening around here in the New York area, the whole overnight period and throughout today. We've got Kyle on the phone already. Kyle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're out there in Seattle right now.
Yes, I'm calling long distance.
We called you, Kyle. Let's not rewrite history. We called you.
Virtual call and long distance.
You pay for incoming calls. Well, regardless, there's no such thing as long distance anymore. We're all just around the corner.
That was the point. That was what I was getting at.
I get it. Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. In addition to everything else, this is also a fundraising show. So there's only so much that one person can do in the studio, and there's nobody else here. So if people insist on pledging, and I know you do sometimes, give us a call after the show is over at 6:45 Eastern Time on November the 15th, 2011. Call 631-632-9872. At that time, I will personally pick up the phone and take your pledge. I just have to remember what it was we were offering. I think we were offering a... what was it again? Do you remember, Kyle? You were here for a couple of these.
We're offering the keynote package.
Keynote package, thank you. Yes, for a $75 pledge, all the keynote talks for the Hope conferences, plus a lot of feature talks. I think something like 20 altogether.
Then 125.
Yeah, for $125, you get that, and you also get the...
everything from Off the Hook.
Off the Hook, the other radio show.
All the audio.
From the other radio station, which will not be on tomorrow night, by the way.
Yes.
But that's just the way things go. You know, I could use a break, actually. Just too much going on. So, two pledge levels, $75, $125. And also, everybody gets... What else do they get, Kyle?
They get the hacker calendar.
Mm-hmm. They get the hacker calendar, which I understand from what I've been reading, that you've been handing those out like candy on the streets of Seattle... and everybody who gets one is simply ecstatic. They're bowled over by how cool this calendar is. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think that's a bit modest. I don't know. I mean, you really have to be so, I don't know.
I don't tell the
truth. You can really tell
story.
A bit more about it. I mean,
yeah.
That's just sort of humble.
It is humble.
I don't know. I think I've been a bit more giving than that.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe you're giving it out not like candy, but like oxygen. I don't know. But the point is, when you give these calendars to people, and the hint here is that they make excellent gifts for the holiday season.
They
are so happy. And the calendar basically has all these amazing photographs, half of which were taken by you, Kyle, of phones and technology and things like that. But also, almost every single day of the year has something that happened that is marked in bold type that you will see, and you'll be able to say, oh, on this particular day, this is what happened in the hacker world. It's incredible how much has happened. So you'll get that for every pledge over $25. So you got those three things. The calendar for $25. For $75, you get the Hackers on Planet Earth keynote DVD series, plus the hacker calendar. For $125, you get all of that, plus the entire Off the Hook audio archive. So it's a great deal.
And you get the radio station.
And you get the radio station, which brings you all of this. So
which
again,
is really the point of this whole thing is raising money, keeping programs like this show on the air, mm-hmm. and a lot of the eclectic music shows and other really cool stuff that goes on at
the
USB.
Eclectic people. All kinds of eclecticism is represented here on WUSB. It's eclecticism is us, I guess is the way we should say it. But again, the phone number, don't call it now because I'm talking on the air and I'm the only person here and I don't know how I would even do that. 631-632-9872. At 45 minutes past, which is exactly 35 minutes from now, give a call. And please tell all your friends, tell your relatives, tell random people to give a call to that number, and we'll take your pledge at that point. And hopefully we'll come up with a good number of people. This is the last day of the fundraiser, or the last day for us for the fundraiser. So that's that. Okay, so go ahead, Kyle.
It's about the small donations, too. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll get a good number regardless, but anything really helps. So if you can, please pick up the phone and call. If you can, try to go for that $25 at least. You get the calendar, And there's many other options and stuff.
In this place,
E said the $75 level, $125 level, any amount helps.
Right. There is no such thing as a small donation here.
What's that?
I say there's no such thing as a small donation. They're all big donations.
That's what I thought you said, yeah. No, absolutely no such thing.
That's right. Okay, so let's talk about what's been going on. We of course, first learned about this along with everybody else at about 1 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, when the police launched what is being referred to as a surprise raid. I got to say, I wasn't surprised because of all the things that have been going on over the past week. And by that, I mean the way things have been demonized. I'm not sure if you've been following in the press, but there was a story about how the Oakland camp, for instance, is a very dangerous place. Well, really, Oakland is a very dangerous place, but the way the mass media was presenting the story, they presented it, I saw headlines, shootings at Occupy Oakland and Occupy, I think, Vermont, Burlington camps, making it seem like it's a free-for-all, that there's no law inside there. And that isn't exactly what happened. The person who was shot in Oakland was shot outside the camp. Yes, he was somebody who had been inside the camp at some point. A lot of people walk through the camp. Doesn't make the camp the problem. The problem is the violence in society and the fact that Oakland is a very dangerous city. But to an average person reading this, it would seem like, wow, that camp is really dangerous. That's got to be shut down. The case in Vermont, a poor veteran committed suicide. And yeah, that happened on the camp, and it's a horrible thing. Veterans are committing suicide all the time. Yeah. Another problem that the people who are occupying these places have been trying to point out, how people are abandoned after they give their lives, practically almost 99% of their lives, to the country. They come back and they're not taken care of, and they have all kinds of problems as a result of that.
Or shot in the head with a tear gas canister.
Yeah, like it happened in Oakland a while back. So I've seen these stories everywhere about how the camps are basically dangerous places.
Well,
and unhealthy places. And the same thing was being said in New York.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. You had alerted me to a pretty good article about that. Do you have that there? I don't know. You were going to speak about that a bit, but it was interesting how there's a dichotomy, you know, the East and the West, or the Jets and the Sharks, and in Zuccotti Park itself.
I don't have that one, but yeah, it was presented in an interesting way where I think it was in the Daily News, where the western part of the park was more homeless people and drug dealers and things like that, while the eastern part were having the General Assembly, and people didn't want to walk from one part to the other. I mean, we walked in there, it wasn't anything like that, but it's interesting how There is something that develops. There was a community developing, and I'm not going to deny that there weren't problems. Of course there were problems.
Right.
And you can go into any crowd of hundreds and hundreds of people and find some idiots. You can definitely do that. But that doesn't mean the entire group is a bunch of idiots or that it's dangerous or something like that. It's simply a microcosm of society. Now, I want to read you something that the Oakland Police Officers Association released on the 11th, November 11th. Yes, 11-11-11. They sent this open letter to Occupy Oakland from the Oakland Police Officers Association. On behalf of the 645 Oakland police officers we represent, seems like an awfully small number of police officers, and I know it shouldn't, but it does, I guess because I'm from New York, and there are just so damn many of them. Anyway, this letter comes to you out of duty to protect the Oakland community and its citizens. Oakland police officers are the 99%. You see, they're trying to, like, win them over and be on their side and all that kind of thing, but it's kind of almost funny. Oakland police officers are the 99%, and we understand and sympathize with your message. We respect your right to peaceful protest. Okay, fine, good enough. We are also sworn to protect the citizens of Oakland. Right now, Oakland is in a state of emergency. Yeah, what else is new? Our police officers are the 99% struggling in Oakland neighborhoods every day to contain the 1% who rob, steal, rape, and murder our law-abiding citizens. Yeah, you know, not quite what the 1% represents, not in this movement anyway.
Terrible analogy.
Yeah, it really is not. I mean, if you want to say the 1% that the Occupy movement is protesting against are a bunch of robbers and muggers and rapists and murderers, Okay, that's your right to say that, but that's not exactly how it's being presented here. It's kind of a clumsy analogy, but they're trying. They're trying.
They are of the ilk, but they're not the same 1%.
Yeah, they're controlled by that other 1%. There's no question there. Anyway, continuing here, the Occupy Oakland protest, now 30 days old, is taking our police officers out of Oakland neighborhoods and away from protecting the citizens of Oakland. Yeah, but whose choice is that? It's not the Occupy Oakland demonstrators doing that. It's the city of Oakland sending all the police officers there where they are not needed. Yes, there was a shooting outside the Occupy Oakland area. There could be a shooting anywhere in Oakland. That's not, it doesn't make Occupy Oakland the dangerous point. It makes Oakland itself dangerous. Anyway, it's almost incredible how they brag about how dangerous Oakland is. Listen to this. In an average city in California, this might not be of emergency proportions for its citizens. Oakland is not an average city. We have the highest violent crime rate in California. We are the fifth most violent city in the United States, with more shootings and homicides than any city west of the Mississippi. I don't know. Do you get a sense of bravado there? Like, no one can touch us. We're number one. Last night's murder right in the epicenter of Occupy Oakland is unacceptable. And that is not true. It was not in the epicenter. It was outside the Occupy Oakland camp. So right away, they're spreading misinformation. So is the violence being promoted by renegade protesters who are lighting firebombs, destroying property, and attacking police. I'll have more on that in a while. There are, of course, people who latch onto the movement that don't really get it. And it's unfair to the movement, but it's also unfair to the movement to categorize them as being a part of it. What is even more tragic is that homicides are a frequent occurrence in Oakland. This is the real emergency. Here we go again with the bragging. Yesterday's murder was Oakland's 101st homicide of 2011. Yes, we broke that century mark. It's time for us to stop directing all of our efforts at policing the small enclave of Occupy Oakland and get back to our job of protecting the citizens of Oakland in the neighborhoods where our residents live. Go ahead. No, who's stopping you?
Thank you.
Really? The events of recent weeks have shown that many occupiers at the Frank Ogawab Plaza are citizens of other communities with limited interest in preserving the greater good and safety of our city. Not sure how they're reaching that conclusion, but please, we ask you, leave Frank Ogawa Plaza peacefully and immediately so Oakland police can get back to work fighting the devastating crime that's occurring in our neighborhoods. So if I understand this correctly, you want these people to leave the camp and go back into the dangerous city where all these murders are occurring, because that's where they are occurring. And yeah, we'll see you there. We'll be the ones stepping over your body and taking notes and things like that. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not really quite accurate. But listen to this. You have sent the world a strong message. Now it is time to go home. You're leaving today, peacefully, of your own free will. On the 30th day, we'll send a message to Oakland that you care about our citizens and respect our city. With last night's homicide in broad daylight in the middle of rush hour, Frank Ogawa Plaza is no longer safe. Please leave peacefully with your heads held high so we can get police officers back to work fighting crime in Oakland neighborhoods. Thank you. Well, you know, here's the thing. It did not occur in the middle of the park, first of all. But if it did, you guys are surrounding it. You know, aren't you surrounding it to make it safe? Not a very good job you're doing then. I don't get it. You can't have it both ways. Either the murder occurred in the middle of the park where you all are, or it occurred someplace else where you weren't and weren't able to deal with it, and it's because of the people in the park that you weren't there. So it's like they're trying to get it both ways, and it doesn't work. Anyway, the occupiers, they're not the problem. Yeah, they might be a bit of an inconvenience. They might be kind of loud. They might be something that make people uncomfortable. And yeah, they somehow are managing to hurt local businesses. I don't see how, because they seem to have a steady stream going into those local businesses. But I guess there are other people that are afraid to come near the park. I'm talking about in New York City especially, because I always see these pieces on mainstream media about how the small businesses, which the occupiers are supposed to care about, are actually being hurt by their actions. So therefore, it's the occupiers' fault that people are afraid to go to the stores and to the restaurants in that area because the occupiers are there. It's twisted logic, but it's the kind of thing that's been presented on mainstream media nonstop. And that's why I don't think it was much of a surprise that the city moved when it did, because this broad brush was being painted to make the occupiers seem as if they were evil and up to no good and causing problems and a threat to everybody. Did I put you to sleep, Kyle?
No, oh, no, okay, I'm good. Listening. I'm wrapped. I agree.
Well, I wanted to give you a chance.
We're starting to see some of that, and boy, I mean, you made a bunch of really good points. I don't know where to start. I mean, I feel I feel like a lot of the, well, I don't know. there's a lot to be said.
There's a lot to be said, and there's also stuff going on in Seattle as well. Now, Occupy Seattle, where you are, you're not at Occupy Seattle, but you're in Seattle. They moved their tents to Community College in Capitol Hill a few weeks ago. But now that community college wants them out. Basically, a spokeswoman for Seattle Central Community College said health and safety hazards have grown since protesters began camping on the school's South Plaza. She said there's more drug use, drinking, trash, and rats on campus. How did the rats just suddenly appear? I mean, it's pretty amazing. Is there a rat hotline that they just suddenly say, hey, the community college, get on a bus and head over there right now? There's more dirty needles and beer cans, including in the school's childcare playground. That prompted providers to stop using the play area and to take kids on inside building walks for recess. There's more security concerns aggravated by a recent assault arrest near the camp. So near the camp is the same thing as in the camp, according to Seattle people. There's been thefts of a school bathroom's liquid soap packets. Oh, the horror.
Gosh.
Oh, wow. Well, first people complain that they're dirty. Then the liquid soap packets disappear, and God forbid. But again, you know, nobody knows who was responsible for the liquid soap packets disappearing. Officials have found that the entrenched encampment of about 100 people... Is that all? 100 people? Has been a magnet for people with mental illness and addiction problems, already tough neighborhood issues in Capitol Hill. Well, you know, if that is already a tough issue, isn't that the point? That you have people with mental illness and addiction problems who are living in the streets of Seattle and have no place to go. Well, now they have some place to go, but you don't want them there. So where do you want them? You want them back in the streets and random places. It just... It seems like the NIMBY type of mentality, where you don't want them in your backyard, you want them someplace else. Well, how about when you're forced to look at them, when they're right there in front of you and they're demanding action? It's uncomfortable, but it's it starts the conversation. And I think if nothing else, the Occupy movement can be credited with starting the conversation.
Yeah, and you know what struck me about what you said about some of the stuff you'd seen in New York is the fact that people are afraid to go there. I mean... Even like some of our friends, people we know that totally would be supportive or at least have similar views or probably have something to share. Mm-hmm. And even myself, I was a bit I had some qualms about going there. But there's really it's entirely misplaced. There's really no reason to not check out one of these places. And we had the opportunity to go to a couple other encampments and visit and see. How they're being done, you know, and to our surprise, some of them were much larger. Some of them had zero police presence. It's kind of interesting, and there's really, especially in a place like New York City, there's no reason anybody should be afraid to go there.
No, it was really an uplifting event. Every time I've been there, with tents, without tents, it's always been an amazing experience because it's just people there conversing, learning, sharing, and just... going through history together. It was always something that I felt great after attending, after being a part of. And I'm not really sure, to be honest, where it stands right now. I do know that late this afternoon, there was a ruling in favor of the city, which basically said that the protesters could not take tents and sleeping bags into Zuccotti Park. But from what I understand, that means they're allowed to go into Zuccotti Park, which, of course, they should be allowed to go. It's a public park. It's owned by a corporation. That's a weird way that New York City does things. But sometimes corporations, in exchange for building their buildings, have to have a park that's available to the public 24 hours a day, unlike city parks, which tend to close at midnight. So what that means is they can't keep the protesters out. I have heard that they are keeping the protesters out. In fact, there was a ruling this morning that said that the protesters were allowed to go back in and the city refused to let them in. So they're not obeying the law when the law is something they don't like. And when it is something they like, they go overboard with it. So right now, I am not 100% certain where things stand as far as whether people are in the park or not in the park. But if this is something obviously it's going to continue to be fought. If people are being told that they're not allowed to bring sleeping bags, they're not allowed to bring tents, they're not allowed to sleep there, it sucks, but let's do something with that. So 24-hour presence. You want people to be awake and active and loud and angry 24 hours a day. How are the neighbors going to feel about that? That's going to be interesting. So by all means, yeah, okay, exercise your First Amendment rights at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, there won't be any sleeping. It won't be a fairly quiet place in the middle of the night anymore, because that's what the judge said. The judge said, you can't sleep there. You have to be awake all the time.
E.
Yes, go ahead, Kyle.
What if they took that and turned it into some split shifts, like split eight, you know, three or four split 8-hour shifts, and people showed up for the A shift, the B shift, the C shift, you know?
Sure.
And they just made it a constant event where people would come in, spend 4 or 6 hours there, and then be cycled through with a different shift, and then maybe rotate the shifts too, so you mix people up. Treat it like a big, you know, job or something. I don't know, but there's all kinds of creative things that I think we can do to play with that. That's actually something I'm dismayed with about Seattle. I'm very unimpressed with you know, they're on a community college campus. Come on, people.
Yeah, really.
Like, really?
You got to be right in their faces. You got to be right on Main Street. You got to be someplace where they can't ignore you. And if you're just out there, you know, on the back lot of some college that you have, people have to search to find you. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You should not have to ask permission to protest, to show your anger, to make a statement. Not something you need a permit for. I can never understand demonstrations that seek permits. No, it's a demonstration. They didn't seek permits in Syria or Libya or East Germany or any place. They just went and did it. And that's what so many people here are doing. And the people say, well, they're not obeying the law. The law is the problem. That's what they're protesting. If you obey the law, then you'll never get there in the first place. But I like to give out our phone numbers because I know people want to speak about this. And if you call now, we won't ask you for money because we'll do that a little later on. But we'll put you on. We're going to try and figure out how the conference button works here. So we ask that you ask a question, make a brief statement, whatever, 631-632-9872. Hopefully that'll work out. We only have about 15 minutes left, so please give a call. I got to say something, though. I was following this last night on all kinds of social networks as well. Twitter was pretty amazing, watching the hashtag OWS for Occupy Wall Street, seeing the messages pouring in. It's kind of funny because Occupy Wall Street never got to be a trending topic on Twitter. It never did. But when the protesters were moved out to different places, Foley Square was one of them, suddenly a hashtag developed, Occupy Foley Square, #OFS. That became a trending topic instantly. So, you know, I know how trending topics work. I know it's not about how many people are looking at it at a particular moment. It's about a spike in activity. Well, that spike in activity had to have happened at some point with Occupy Wall Street, yet the whole thing seems to have somehow been blocked from ever becoming a trending topic. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't know why Twitter would do that, but it just seems rather strange. But the other thing, I was watching live broadcast, livestream.com / Global Revolution / Occupy NYC. There was something like 40, 50,000 people watching this. But there was another one that I thought was really good. Ustream.tv/the other 99. Yeah. I watched a reporter on there, and this guy, he deserves a Pulitzer Prize. He really does. He was walking around. He was narrating what he was seeing. He was talking to various people. But then at one point, he got surrounded by this hostile mob. And these guys were really a bunch of idiots. They were going around letting the air out of police tires and things like that. So-called anarchists. And I know lots of anarchists who are not idiots. These ones were not anarchists, but they were idiots. And they apparently were the people that like to cause vandalism. And in this particular case, like to intimidate people by threatening them with violence if they don't turn their camera off. Sound familiar? Yeah, so these guys were, and girls too, were surrounding him, shoving him, saying, turn your camera off. The guy was saying, I refuse to turn my camera off. This movement is about transparency. He would not back down. And it takes a lot of guts to do that in the face of a mob. The thing is, these people were stupid enough to be committing crimes without wearing masks over their faces, and to keep coming up to the camera to tell the person to turn it off after they found out that there's 20,000 people watching this stream right now. Hey, you just incriminated yourself, you idiot. You did it yourself. So that's the kind of thing that, that's the daily struggle. People can latch onto the movement and call it their own, but they don't necessarily represent it. The people who represent the movement are like the people who broadcast that, the people who have been doing the live streams, the people who have been holding the general assemblies and basically listening and trying to form a movement and not being violent, not being intimidating. And those are the people that I hope we all listen to, and I hope they stick around. And I'm sorry, during that speech, I know I saw a bunch of calls come in. They all went away. I didn't go away. They time out. And that's part of the problem here with the switchboard. So please give a call. I promise I won't stand up and make another speech. 631-632-9872. Tell us what's on your mind as far as the breakup of the Zuccotti Park occupiers. And the 17th is Thursday. Massive demonstrations have already been planned in New York City. It's going to get even bigger now, because what happens is, I know I'm starting another speech, what happens is whenever they're attacked, they get stronger. I've noticed that's the case. Okay, I'm going to try to do this. Bear with me. I haven't done this in a while. We're going to try and conferences call in. Here we go. Picking up the call. And good evening. You are on Off the Wall. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, and Kyle, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Okay, all right, it works. Okay, caller, where are you calling from?
How are you? I wanted to weigh in on this topic.
Okay, go ahead. Try not to speak so loud, though. Your phone is very dynamic.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that President Obama should address this, and the reason he should address it is because that would really help spike his approval ratings, number one. The Republicans can't accuse him of campaigning on this issue.
Uh-huh.
Plus, the Occupy movement fits in perfectly with everything he's been fighting for, the Do Nothing Congress. People just want upward social mobility. They want a fair shake in as far as the economy. They want to just live out the American dream. And if he jumped in and actually held it, I don't want to see Jay Carney. I want to see President Obama just lay it out on the line and say, this is it. The 99% is me.
You know, he can do that, and I agree with you. I think he should do that. But if he did, he would be attacked mercilessly by the right wing. Now, that could be great for him to do this and be attacked if the rest of us, those people who aren't on Wall Street right now, the people who are sitting comfortably in our homes, if we spoke up and said, Obama, yes, support these people. We will support you if you do, rather than say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to support him because he didn't give me everything I wanted in health care, everything I wanted in this particular program. So he's basically the same as everybody else. So I'm just going to feed him to the dogs and not support him in this critical moment. If we weren't taking that kind of attitude, if we were here to say, yes, speak up, we're there for you, he would do it. But he has to reflect the will of the people.
And I think, don't you think that the base, the Democratic base, they're afraid to jump on the side. If President Obama leads the way, I think it'll do wonders for the base. I think they'll jump and say, finally, you know, he's jumped on board here. Let's jump on board with him. And we can outdo the whole Republican. Look at the Republican candidates here. None of them are too swift. So
that's true. That is very true.
I agree. I really appreciate your sentiment. I think that, you know, not only should he lay it out, he should lay into the Republicans and just realize that this encapsulates pretty much everything that hasn't been addressed by his administration. I think it could do wonders for getting people sort of galvanized, getting them behind him. I don't see what the fear would be. I agree with your sentiment, and thank you for your call.
Yes, absolutely.
And where are you calling from, sir? You know, people never answer that question. I don't know why. Are they afraid to know where they're... All right, well, Kyle, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, the system worked. Isn't that amazing? See, sometimes, folks, the system can work if you just manipulate it to your advantage.
Careful.
There's a little microcosm there. All right, we have open phone lines. So here's another call coming in. Let's try that again. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Center Reach.
Okay, Center Reach, right nearby. What's on your mind?
Have you had a birthday this year, if I may ask?
I have not.
Okay, you're 110 if you add the year of you were born and your age. If you've had a birthday, everybody will be 111. That was on Democracy Now. That's, I guess, an anomaly, right?
That was on Democracy Now?
Yeah.
How did Amy work that in?
But
that's interesting, yes. Yeah, so segue
into this one.
Okay.
I believe it was April 17th, Waco and Ruby Ridge. Both April 17th.
Uh-huh.
The satanic holiday celebrating ritual sacrifices.
Well, it's that whole period. I think it's more like the 20th, 20th, 21st of April. You got
Hitler's birthday.
You've got that the Columbine shooting. You have Oklahoma City. All kinds of nasty things happen in that period. And you also have 420, which is a pot holiday.
But... Oh, hell yeah.
let's not scare people too much.
Yeah, no, I was just comment from last week. I think you might have been on BAI last week when you were talking about 11-9 and whether it was a coincidence or not.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like any of these dates are coincidences. And anyway, that's all I want to say. And this is horrific, this thing in Vermont. I didn't know about this suicide in Vermont and this whole thing.
Yeah, well, the only reason you heard about, or that you would have heard about it in the first place, was because it happened inside the park. Think of all the suicides by veterans you don't hear about because they're happening every day.
I know that only too well. I am a Vietnam veteran. So, But anyway, thanks for the show.
All right, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks for listening.
Take care. Our phone number, 631-632-9872. Let's take another phone call. Hey, good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Greetings from Shirley.
Shirley, how you doing?
All right.
Not that you're a Shirley, but yeah, okay. So what's on your mind out there?
Just real quick, those dates were funny. I was married on April 17th, and my daughter was born on April 20th.
Oh boy!
That gave me a good laugh.
that makes you Satan or something.
But the baby was good.
Okay.
Things do happen on those days.
Wow. All right. So any other thoughts today?
No, I'm pretty ambivalent about the whole Occupy thing. I have ambivalent feelings.
What's the next big thing to you then, politically or socially or otherwise? Then, if this isn't it, what's important to you?
Eating.
Yeah, that's
no
definitely
roof over my head.
There you go.
These are American values for sure.
All right, local.
All right. I'm a local boy. Yeah, take it easy, guys. Have a good night.
All right, take care. The caller raises some standard values that I think many people have.
I hear him. I'm right there with him.
Yeah,
but
they don't have to be isolated. They don't have to be things that preclude you from getting involved in the first place because you want a roof over your head, because you want to be fed. And you were mentioning eating locally. What does that mean precisely?
Like local food movement. If you support growers, if you support people that grow food in your backyard, like when we've traveled to like places like Yugoslavia, we see people with gardens in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting more into the local food movement in some metropolitan areas, but basically what it's about is supporting local growers instead of agribusiness and very large, huge crops with lots of chemicals and
heterogeneity
in the seeds and that kind of stuff.
You know,
it's pretty sick.
The issues
on that scale. And I have mixed feelings about it because I'm a supporter of agri-fuels, but I think there needs to be a balance. And
yeah.
That's a completely different topic.
The issues that the Occupy people bring up, they can be applied to virtually every aspect of our society, and food is certainly one of them. Let's see if we can take another phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Anybody there? Okay, I think we have a shy person here.
Oh, dear.
Okay, let me hit this button. See, I don't know how...
I had heard... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but the other person is there, too, so I don't know how to get rid of them.
I want to tie that in together a little bit. I heard a really good report on the Occupy Wall Street radio show that WBAI is hosting a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about the kitchen. The kitchen has obviously been dismantled now, and it's really amazing what they're doing. They're so aware.
Oh, this is great. Now, I don't know how to get rid of this.
You didn't. I just wanted to say we can't make peace with war.
Exactly. Yes.
True.
Okay. And it's just a shame that we got a president that likes to. I'm sorry to say, he's killing people from thousands and millions of miles away, and he's not going to speak up for nobody.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that seems to be part of the system, and that's one of the points that the occupiers are making, is that the system is broken, and that we have to change some basic values.
I'm back. I'm with you 100%. It's a beautiful thing. It's a shame that we have to fight amongst ourselves just to try to get a little peace in so-called civilized country.
And
yes.
Obama has proved to be a bit of a ruthless killer, but, you know, I think the Republicans wouldn't have him any other way, so...
It shouldn't even be Republicans or Democrats. They really want one of the same. There's no difference.
Yeah, it's systemic.
I'm not good with the big $3 word, but, yeah.
And can I ask where you're calling from?
Well, I'm in Gorham.
John Corum. Okay. I want to thank you for calling us.
Thank you for being there. Keep
all right.
Going.
Take care. Now, Kyle, you're making a point, and we're in our last few minutes, so please make that point.
We are in our last few minutes.
Yes. I meant that to be non-symbolic, but yeah, literally. Thanks for calling.
You're talking about the food thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard a great report on the kitchen, and obviously it's been dismantled now, and how basically they're so aware. They're so... live,
mm-hmm.
so present to what is going on. It's like, that is, to me, the beautiful thing about these kind of movements. You have a forum, you have the town square where people are sharing these ideas. When they approach a problem, they approach it intelligently, sustainably, with absolutely every consideration for the social, the human, the environmental impacts. And that's the kind of stuff that's the kind of cognizance that we need to see. It can't be 30 years of a company running something, and then we say, oh, hey, you know, you messed up this creek. You messed up, you know, our environment. You're affecting my labor and my lifestyle. It can't be about that. We have to know in real time, just as we're watching these people marching in the city, we need to know in real time how people's and our own society's decisions are impacting the world around us and impacting our community and our neighbors. And that's what I think this movement has, is a finger on the pulse of exactly what the problem is, and they're approaching it with the most modern and the most intelligent and informed solutions. So.
Well said, Kyle. Well said. This is one of these shows I wish we had a couple of hours to deal with. But it doesn't have to end here, folks. Keep listening in various other ways. I want to direct you to ustream.tv. That's spelled ustream.tv/the other 99 if you want some really good live coverage from some very courageous people out there on the streets, literally. Also, livestream.com/globalrevolution, livestream.com/OccupyNYC. These are all different feeds. We had over 50,000 people last night watching these. On Twitter, hashtag #OWS or #OccupyWallStreet. Amazing demonstrations of people power here. And look up November 17th, Thursday, and see what kind of actions will be taking place. I imagine it's going to be huge. And we'll be talking about this in the weeks, the months, the years ahead. Kyle, I want to thank you for being part of this, and wish we could say more, but I'm sure we'll have more to say.
Absolutely. I thank you for inviting me, and thank all of our listeners for supporting the station and calling in and just being there to listen and consider our thoughts. And absolutely, there's so much more to say. I would love to continue to do this again, and please, by all means, have me again if you will.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kyle. Have a good night, and we will be moving to basketball in just about a minute. Stony Brook will be playing Sacred Heart, is that right? Yes, an away game. All right, stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com, that's our address.